Book of Luke, chapter 7, we are going to start from verse 1.
Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof.
Jesus Christ finished his saying. That means last week we learned he gave so many parables and people listened to the word of God. And when he finished his saying, now he comes to the Capernaum. Now when he was coming, the word of God says there was a man, centurion. His name is not given. Even that this man is a centurion means he has 100 soldiers under him, and he is in a Roman army, and this man is very loving and kind. We see his servant, the word of God says, the Luke chapter 7 verse 2, his servant was very sick and ready to die. That means that servant was very sick and dying, but this man loved his servant like his own son. He is not even Jewish man, but the word of God says he built the synagogue and he was so friendly with the Jewish people, and he had so many other friends we see in this paragraph. So what he did, instead of going and telling Jesus or sending his soldier to Jesus and say, come and heal my servant, he sent some Jewish elders. Now, Jewish elders, they are against Jesus. They always find fault in Jesus and his ministry. But I was surprised, these Jewish elders, they are coming to Jesus because the centurion sent them. From that we know this centurion helped these Jewish people build the synagogue. And so they could not say, we do not believe in healing, we do not believe in miracle, we cannot go to Jesus, we always have some problem with Jesus, we cannot go. What happens here? Money talks. This man, centurion, helped them financially, so these people come to Jesus. Jesus would have said, well, I'm coming. But he saw these elders of Jewish people are coming. And they did not just come, but they begged him. This man who is centurion, he is worthy man. He is very loving. He loves our nation. He has built the synagogue. And please come. So Jesus didn't say, you people do not want me healing people and doing miracles. How come today you just coming to me and telling me to come and heal the centurion's servant? Jesus didn't say anything, and he said, okay, I'm coming. And while Jesus was coming, and he came so close, and so centurion sends another people. He sends some his friends now, the verse 6. He sends his friends and says, please tell Jesus, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. He says, I'm a officer. I say, some soldier to go, he goes. I say, come, he comes. So I am in authority, and you have the authority. Just say the word, because I'm not worthy that you should come to my house.
Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed.
Now he says, the same way I'm not even worthy to come to you. So just speak the word. And this man had this much faith.
For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
So Jesus, turning around and talking to whom? All these elders of the Jewish synagogue, they coming and telling Jesus to come and heal the centurion's servant. Can you imagine these Jewish elders? That means they're working in a synagogue. They're supposed to have faith also. They could have said to a centurion, we can pray for you or your servant. He can get healed. But they didn't have the faith. So Jesus turns around looking at these people, say, can you see? This centurion is heathen man. And this heathen man has this much faith. I could not find this kind of faith in Israel, whole Israel. Not only with this Jewish leader, but the whole Israel. Read the verse 10. But in this 10th verse, it's not clear what Jesus said, but the Matthew says a little bit better. Read this verse 10 and then go to the Matthew chapter 8, verse 13.
And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick.
In Luke, he just said, they just went and saw the servant was healed. But go to the Matthew chapter 8, verse 13.
And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Even the centurion didn't come. His friend came. But just like he is talking to the centurion, he says, go thy way, and your servant is already healed. And so these friends and these elders of the Jewish synagogue, they all came to see. And the word of God says, the same hour where Jesus Christ said, that person was completely healed. The centurion said it, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And exactly Jesus said, go thy way, your servant is already healed. The word of God said that servant was healed. So there is a power in the word of God. God has given us the same authority. When we have problem, we speak the word and the word will come true. Because we are saying in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is a power in our words. 11th verse is a different subject. Let's start reading from Luke chapter 7, verse 11.
And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother.
Now Jesus decided to go to another town. Nobody invited him. Nobody told him to go to that town. But he decided to go to that town. Now when you're reading this, many disciples followed him. Not only that, he says, disciples didn't ask him, where are we going? He says, we are going to go to the town called Nain. Now when he is going, the disciples are following and many people were following and he's coming to the gate. From the gate, they are taking the dead man. And this is not like an American funeral. This is the poor people's funeral. There is no casket. There is no big ceremony. But here we see the situation. Jesus comes to this town. Nobody invited. And he went there, and I was start thinking, why Jesus went to this town, what Jesus Christ was thinking. And when you see the widow's story, the word of God says she has only one son. only one son. The son is dead. Now they're carrying him to the burial ground. And she is weeping and crying and following her son. Here comes the Jesus. And Jesus said to the widow, weep not. Now if somebody tells you don't weep and don't cry, you get mad. You said, why this person doesn't understand my problem? But when Jesus says don't weep, he had the answer. He knew what he was going to do. And when I was thinking who this widow was, let's go to the chapter 12, start reading from verse 41. Mark 12.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Now, this is the widow's story. Jesus Christ was sitting and watching how the people were giving their money. And this widow comes with the two mites, and she put her two mites, and he showed to his disciples, he says, come and see. This widow put more than anybody else. And these people might be thinking, they said, she put only two mites. How come you say she put more than anybody else? Then Jesus explained, other people are putting, like they got $1 million. Out of $1 million, they might be putting $10. That's not even 1% or 0.5% or even 0.25%. But this lady put two mites, you can say $2, but that much she had. Whatever she had, she put it all. And those days, even the penny, he said, even though if you said two pennies, in one penny, they might be buying 10 items. I asked my dad, he said, you know, in our time, one penny, we can buy 10 items. And he was talking about the 19th century. He's talking about 2,000 years ago. So that penny had a lot of wealth. Two penny means too much money for the poor person. So the Jesus Christ says, this person put it all. Now, I was just thinking in my mind, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, give your tithes and offerings, and I will open the heavenly windows and pour down the blessings. And then verse 11, he says, I will fight your devourer. Now, this lady, just think, just imagine, I'm just imagining, this lady might be thinking, sitting there, God says, give your tithes and offerings. And now everybody going and putting money in a treasury. She could have said, okay, I have two mites. If I put one mite, it will be 50%, right? But she decided to give 100%. So she said, if I give 100%, my son is sick and dying. God might do some miracle and my son can get healed. Because the 11th verse he says, I will fight your devourer. Now the devourer was devouring her son and her son was dying. So she might be thinking, I have nothing left. If my son dies, what this two penny I'm going to do with it? I'm not going to survive with this two penny. Let me give it to God. And Jesus watched. And Jesus knew this widow's son is sick and his son is dying and I'm going to go. Just like Lazarus. Lazarus' sister sent the message, said, Lazarus is dying, your friend, please come and heal. Jesus didn't come. So Lazarus dead. 4 days later he comes and brings the Lazarus out of the grave. Same situation. Jesus might have knew in his heart, he knew this lady giving everything what she had. Her son might be sick and dying. Jesus didn't say, let's go to her house and heal her son. Didn't say anything. But here he says, let's go to that town. Now son is already dead. Now he comes to that town and says to the lady, please don't cry. And he touched, and the son was healed. And the verse 15, he says, then he delivered that son to his mother. Read that verse 15. Luke chapter 7, verse 15.
And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother.
That son started talking when he was sick. Maybe he was in coma. He was not talking to his mother. And now especially he says, son, start talking. That means he was in coma. He was not talking. He was already dead. Now he got up and start talking. Now Jesus takes the son and give as a gift to the mother. He said, here is your son. Take your son and give it to the mother. She didn't know that when she was putting money, Jesus was watching. And so point I'm making, even this Matthew doesn't say, Luke doesn't say, Jesus didn't say, disciple didn't say, but this is just my feeling, that Jesus watched that widow giving all of her living to the Lord. Now this son was only one son, and the word says young man. So now this young man got healed. She got all the wealth in the world. So what she sowed, she is reaping now. So the word of God is saying, you know, God never forgets our good works. And so here the word of God is showing us, Jesus knew the situation, and he says, let's go to that town, and he healed that man, and the man was completely healed. And not only healed, came to life, and gave it to the mother. Let's read the verse 16. Luke chapter 7, verse 16.
And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us.
Now the people, they say, is the great prophet. Now, what great prophet do you know? Many people came to the John the Baptist and start saying, are you that prophet? They didn't say what that means. And these people are also saying, that great prophet. Now, I want to tell you what that great prophet they are talking about. So Moses starts saying to the people of Israel, God is going to raise a prophet just like me. And when he was saying to the people, God heard his voice and God support what he was saying. And then God says, I'm going to send a prophet just like you. So the people were looking for the prophet, what the Moses said. That's why they were saying to John the Baptist, are you that prophet? Just go and read that. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 18.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Now this is Moses saying,
according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Verse 19.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
What Moses said, God will raise a prophet just like me. And then God says, Moses, you said it right. I'm going to send a prophet just like you. And if they don't listen to that prophet, then I will punish them. He says, God shall raise a prophet just like you. Now, I don't have time, but someday we will study that Moses and Jesus. If you compare the Moses and Jesus, they have so many similarity, the prophet Moses and prophet Jesus. But here we see the people are start thinking when Jesus Christ did this great miracle, they said, this man should be that great prophet. And if you read the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen starts saying, you remember what God was saying, that I'm going to raise a prophet just like Moses, and this is Jesus is that prophet. Please read Acts chapter 7, verse 37.
This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear.
See, now here also, Stephen is trying to say, when God said, I'm going to raise a prophet, and the Stephen saying, do you know who that prophet is? That prophet is Jesus. And now these people also, when they saw the miracle hand of God, and Jesus raised that dead man, and these people start glorifying God, saying that a great prophet is among us. They realize Jesus Christ is a great prophet. Now, this news went all around. Let's read verse 17, Luke chapter 7, verse 17.
And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about.
When he says this rumor, means this news went all around the whole Israeli nations. Now you see that John the Baptist was in prison at that time. Now the John the Baptist is in prison, and the John the Baptist disciples, they went to prison and said to the John the Baptist, do you know the great prophet, the Jesus Christ, doing signs and wonders and miracles? And we heard this, and so this message went to even prison. Can you imagine? Nowadays we have a cell phone and telephone and everything. In those days, who is going to go to prison to tell the John the Baptist what's happening and what Jesus Christ is doing? But his disciple went to prison to tell him the story. See what happens. Verse 18.
And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another?
Now see the situation here. John the Baptist, who was preaching about Jesus, and this man testified about Jesus. Let's go to the book of St. John, chapter 1, and start reading from verse 29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Now see what John is saying. He says, I didn't know him, but I know now because I saw the Spirit like a dove coming upon him. And he says, now I bear the witness, this is the Son of God. When I saw Jesus, now I'm witnessing, this is the Son of God. Now this man talked about Jesus, preached about Jesus. Many of his disciples followed Jesus Christ. But when he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, these people followed Christ. But now John is in prison. When he's in prison, and his disciples, they came and he said, do you know what Jesus Christ is doing? Many people are getting healed and dead people are getting raised. And so the John start thinking, Jesus Christ supposed to be setting the captive free. And I am the one captive. If you remember in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, if you read, he says he came to set the captive free. The John the Baptist is sitting there and he's saying, why Jesus Christ cannot set me free? And he forgot what he said. Let's go to the St. John chapter 3. You are in John chapter 3 and start reading from verse 27.
John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Now see, John the Baptist is saying, Jesus Christ came from above, and he is speaking heavenly things. People do not understand. So he says, I am not the Christ. I am just the friend. He should increase, I should decrease. This was the testimony of John. But now he's in prison, and when he's thinking something different. See, God does signs and wonders and miracles for us. And when we are really sick, or we are in trouble, and you don't get the answer right away, we get all kinds of doubts. Maybe God doesn't want to heal me. Maybe I'm going to die in this sickness. I don't know where God is. I prayed and prayed and nothing is happening. All this doubt comes to the mankind. When the fear of death comes, people forget the miracle power of God. And that's what happened to John the Baptist. And when they came to Jesus Christ, and they said, this is what the John the Baptist says, are you the one, or we should look for another? Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 7 verse 21, what Jesus said. Jesus did not answer them right away. When they asked the question, Jesus got busy doing the Father's work, doing the signs and wonders and miracles. Let's read verse 21.
And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight.
Okay, can you imagine? Here he says, in the same hour. What hour? When these people were asking the question. Did not answer them right away. He wanted these people to see more signs and wonders and miracles. He says, in the same hour he cured many. When you say word cure, what does it mean? Completely healed. It's not like that disease is still around. He touched those people, and what kind of people, he says? People are many people with different infirmities, different plagues, evil spirit, and blind people. He gave them sight. So many miracles he did, and all of this miracle he did, he cured them all. That means when he healed them, that sickness never came back. That's cure, right? That's the thing he did. Verse 22.
Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached.
Now see, here Jesus Christ did not answer them right away, start doing some miracles, and after that, Jesus answering them. Now here is saying a little bit more than what we read in 21. He says, go your way, tell the John what you see and what you hear. That means some of the things you can see with your eyes, some of the things you can hear with your ears, the miracles. And then he says, see what's happening? Blinds are able to see. Lames are walking. Lepers are getting cleansed. And deaf people hearing. And the dead people are raised. And the poor people are hearing the gospel. So go and tell what's happening. You saw me. You heard me. Now you go and tell the John. Now the disciples are already going to tell the John. Before they left, he said one more words to them. Verse 23.
And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Now he said to those people, go and tell the John, but at the same time say, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So now they are going to tell the John, I think you are offended in Jesus. You doubted in Jesus. And miracles are happening. Signs and wonders and things are happening. We saw with our own eyes the blind got healed and the deaf got healed and the leper got healed and the dead people are raised and all these things we saw. And then these people are now going to the John the Baptist to give this story. And now Jesus Christ turning to the people and telling them about John the Baptist. Verse 24.
And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
Now he is saying to the audience, you went to the desert place to see. What did you go to see? He is trying to say, you went to see the John the Baptist. And why you went to see John the Baptist? He was not the ordinary prophet. He was a great prophet. And that's what you went to see. And he says, that man is sent by God. Just go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, and read also Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Now, Jesus Christ is saying, all this prophecy was done about the John the Baptist, and this is the man you went to see. And he said, this man is not ordinary man. Let's read this Luke chapter 7, verse 28.
For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he.
Now, when Jesus Christ said this, he is the great prophet. But at the same time, he said, if you take the prophet from the first prophet, you can say Enoch, unto the is the John the Baptist. And if you compare all those people, they were born by woman. And so he says, but the John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived as a prophet. Why? Because all other prophets, their story you read and the John the Baptist story you read, John is a little bit greater. He lived in a desert place. He was not the worldly man. He was godly man. And he was a great man. So he said, John the Baptist is greatest. But the same time, he said one more word, but he that is in the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, means greater than the John the Baptist. Now, if you ask this question to somebody, people give you different kinds of answers. He said, could you tell me if the John the Baptist is the greatest among all the prophets, but who is least in the kingdom of God, he is greater than the John the Baptist. Who is that person? Right away, people will say, Jesus. Jesus is not least in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the greatest. He is the greater than the John the Baptist anyhow, because John the Baptist, he says, I'm not even worthy to bend down and loose his, what you call, shoes. So he's not talking about, this verse is not talking about Jesus. This verse is talking about the born again person, just like you and me. John the Baptist, as we read in the St. John chapter 3, you remember what he said? I am just the friend listening to voice of the bride and a bridegroom, and my joy is fulfilled. So John the Baptist, if he's a friend, and if there is a bride and bridegroom, who are we? We are the bride of Christ. So we are greater than the John the Baptist. But I don't have time to explain too much. But in short, even the man who died on the cross side by side to Jesus, and this man said to Jesus, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, will you remember me, the thief? What Jesus Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. So what the Jesus Christ is saying, even that thief on the cross, he will be in the kingdom of God. He will be greater than the John the Baptist. And why is that? Because the John the Baptist comes in the Old Testament. He was washed with the blood of bulls and goats, but we are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are greater than the John the Baptist. Okay, let's start reading from verse 29.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like?
Now here we see all these Sadducees and Pharisees are listening to Jesus Christ. And he starts saying, you saw the John the Baptist, the great prophet, and his message. And many sinners and many tax collectors, John baptized them. But he says, you Pharisees and lawyers, you rejected the counsel of God because you did not take water baptism. And so he says, you people are just like the generation. Now he's giving them example.
They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
So what he's trying to say, you people do not understand anything. If somebody is singing and dancing because there's a wedding, you don't understand there's a wedding. Some people are dead and somebody's crying and weeping. You do not understand anything. What he's trying to say, your mind is dull. You do not understand the truth. John the Baptist came and preached to you about the confessing your sins and repentance and water baptism. And you did not take the water baptism, and you start saying to John the Baptist, you don't eat right food, you don't drink the wine, and you are like, you have a demon. And when I came, and I eat normal food, and I drink normal drink, and you are telling me that I am wine bibber and the friend of sinners and tax collectors. Now, somebody takes these scriptures and say, do you know Jesus Christ was drinking wine? And so he just quoted the words, what the Pharisees and what other people are saying. If the Jesus Christ was not the sinner, then the Jesus Christ not also was wine drinker also. That's the point comes. But they label him, you drink wine and you are a sinner. So just like if the devil says something, do you believe what devil says? No. Why? But the devil is a liar. If the devil says something, that is a lie. So all these people are the agents of the devil, and whatever they say, we should not be believing. So Jesus Christ is saying, your mind is dull, you do not understand what you say, and so you are just out of your mind, and you are telling anything to the John the Baptist and anything to me. I think we'll stop here. Time is running. With the next time, we'll start from verse 35. So here we see in this chapter, heal that man's centurion's son, just speaking the word, going and raising that widow's son, and then giving the message to the John the Baptist disciples, go and tell the John the Baptist, and you should not be offended of me. And so now, point I'm making, just think the John the Baptist never sent his disciples to the Jesus Christ. And he dies doubting. Do you know where John the Baptist will be going? He'll go into hell. So now the John's disciples comes and said, you know, Jesus Christ told us, what you hear and what you see, go and tell the John the Baptist. We saw the dead rest, we saw the leper cleansed, we saw the blind God healed, we saw so many signs and wonders and miracles. And one more thing Jesus Christ said, if somebody is offended of me, it's not good for them. And so I believe John the Baptist might be repented, and when you know the story how the John the Baptist got killed. And I believe John was ready to give his life for the truth because he heard that Jesus Christ came and he is the really Son of God. So I believe John the Baptist made it. Let's rise and let's pray and ask God, Lord, if there is any doubt, if there is any fear, if there is anything I am offending Christ, please take these thoughts away from me. I do not want to die in doubt, in unbelief, but I want to die in faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, dead in Christ will rise first. So if we are believers, even though we die, we will rise. And the people who are alive today, if he comes today, we will be transformed. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us grace to learn from your word and meditate on your words. And when we learn, let's go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. Just like Jesus said to the John's disciples, go and tell John. So Lord Jesus, we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see the signs and wonders and miracles are happening in our lives. Let us go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. We commit our lives into your loving hands. Lord Jesus, please use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.